Well, we've taken a look at some of the likely problems the oceans will continue to face in the future. And while things clearly aren't going to get any easier for the oceans, on a more positive note, there are other ways in which progress continues in leaps and bounds. And that's our understanding of the lives and processes that drive ocean ecosystems. Incredible discoveries are still being made, and we've come such a long way since the days when the ocean was an unseen realm filled with terrifying mythical monsters. But there's still masses we don't know about the ocean realm, and that is truly exciting. John Bruno is currently updating a major textbook about marine ecology, and he's taken on the task of compiling all the new science that's been pouring out of the oceans in the last decade.
It just is blowing our minds how much we've learned in a decade. You know, since I graduated with my PhD, and even then I had the sense it's all learned, it's all in textbooks. You know, there's a few rough edges we need to sort out. I mean, the field has just completely overturned. I mean, we could practically throw out everything we learned before 2000. There's just so much new knowledge has come in. And I just find that so exciting and so important to get across to undergraduates. It's incredible how much we don't know, you know?
The ocean is hugely mysterious still, in a way that is quite hard for landlubbers to really grasp. You know, the stories of how recently we discovered things, you know, whether it's the volcanic vents off the Galapagos, which were in the 70s. I think it was not until the 80s that we really started understanding about picoplankton, the smallest forms of productivity in the ocean, which weren't being caught in the filters because the filters were too big. This stuff is tiny, but it makes maybe up to 50% of the productivity of the ocean surface, which affects the entire climate of the planet. We didn't even know they were there. And we're just beginning to work out how important they are.
One thing I really want to know, you know, I still don't think we understand how coral reefs work. Even basic things that I think we've been studying for decades. I mean, I don't think we understand just the energy flow, where the energy comes from, you know, what the role of the plankton is in coral reef food webs. I don't think we really have any idea, you know, how much of the energy being produced by coral reefs comes from the plankton, sort of via external sources, versus benthic macroalgae, the zooxanthellae in the corals. So we don't know about the energy flow. I don't even think we really have a good handle on what determines coral reef fish communities, whether there's lots of reef fish there or very few. We all know fishing is a really big driver in losing coral reef fish. But, you know, I go to places where there's still fishing, where there's lots of fish, in some places where there's no fishing, where there's not many fish. And, you know, that's not to deny the role of fishing, but to just point out there's a lot of other big things going on, things like currents and upwelling and local productivity that attract fish. And nobody's even looking at that. And it's just, you know, we think of it as kind of minor background noise. And I just think, first of all, it's super interesting. We need to understand it. And it's really hard to detect the role of fishing when we don't ever account for all this background stuff. Just all these big unknowns.
So it's a place of wonder. There's going to be lots more exciting things coming up along the way. I hope some of the exciting things we'll learn will be also some of the messages of hope for things like these threats, that actually things will be more robust than we expect. Because we just don't know enough even about the physiology of anything to know really whether it's going to be able to cope with acidification, or there may be some genetic or physiological mechanism in these organisms that makes them more robust and buys us a bit more time to sort out our interventions. So there's so much still to be discovered. And on a much more local, almost personal level, when you go to the ocean, you always see something that amazes or takes your breath away.
Well, I guess we'll just have to wait and see what lies in store for the future of the oceans. So that's it. That was the last episode of Naked Oceans. If you haven't already listened to all the others, then you can find them in a permanent online archive, including heaps of information about ocean science and conservation. That's at thenakedscientist.com/oceans. It just leaves for me to say a big thank you to John Bruno, Mark Spaulding, Paul Rose, Sylvia Earle and Enrique Sala. And to all our other wonderful contributors, way too many to mention, who've lent their voices and ideas to Naked Oceans over the last 2 years. And of course, thanks to you for listening. Goodbye.
Naked Oceans is produced by the Naked Scientists and supported by the Save Our Seas Foundation. For more information, look them up online at saveourseas.com.